I thank the Lord for another day. He's allowed us to gather in His name.
Amen.
And, I think we, in this country, we have a lot to be grateful for. Don't take for granted the freedoms we have to gather and to look at the Word of God and to assemble together. There's places that are not allowed to do that. And so we should be grateful for that. Well, as Brother Dan was saying, I bring you greetings from Grace Bible Chapel. And as he stated, we have relocated. We're now located at 27345 Schoolcraft, just right off the corner of Inkster there, going east. And it's been going quite well. We had our grand opening dedication since I last visited. It was in April, April the 16th. And anyways, it's been really good, and hopefully maybe at some point in time when you're not having something here, please come by and visit. Please come by and visit. You can check out the website, gracebiblechapel.com, for information about the service time. All right. Pray for me. I've been real busy. preaching and doing things at the church, and then my daughter's getting wet married Friday, so I'm a little stressed. I'm a little stressed right now, and yours truly is officiating, so a little bit of pressure, I would say. So pray for me. Oh man, yeah, the Fitzgerald went through that. It's been 2 years now.
Yeah, that'll be 2 years
in March, in August. Amazing how time flies. All right, so you guys know how to pray for me. Let's look at the Word of God this morning. We're going to be looking at a little small book in the Old Testament called Habakkuk. And if you don't know where it is, go to Matthew, then go back about four books, and you will find the book of Habakkuk. I'm just going to read to you from chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, we'll pray, and then we'll have our scripture lesson. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Father God in heaven, we again thank you for who you are, being almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present God, full of grace, full of mercy and love. We're thankful for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you gave, that he might die for us, that his blood might be shed for our sins. And we thank you also that he rose from the dead, and he left us with the Holy Spirit for all who believe. And for his word. We ask for your blessing now upon this Bible hour, that those hearing might be helped, that the Christians here may be edified, that sinners might be saved. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Alright, that's all heard. Two amen. Is that it? Alright. Alright, that's a little bit better. A little bit better. Alright. So what I want to talk about today, the topic is when God doesn't make sense. When God doesn't make sense. And that's, for some of us, this is, you know, God, I don't know what you're doing. When God doesn't make sense. And so we're going to study this from the perspective of this minor prophet. His name is Habakkuk. Now, I think the proper way of saying his name is Habakkuk. That's the way you would say his name. But he's known as a minor prophet. Now, he's not a minor prophet, meaning he's not important or he's insignificant. He's a minor prophet because what he wrote is small in content. It's not a lot of words. We did a word search. And there's several of these minor prophets here towards the end of the Old Testament Hebrew scripture. His name means to embrace. To embrace. This word that he recorded here is could be categorized as a lamentation. A lamentation is a writing by one of the the minor prophets that lamented. It's sort of a sad thing. It's a writing that reflects upon a kind of a dark time. So Habakkuk is a prophet during this dark time, during the history of Israel. At this time, in Israel's history, more specifically Judah, they had turned from God. And if you study the nation of Israel, they have these patterns of coming to God, turning from God, over and over again, and this is another one of those times. This period of history during the 12 tribes of Israel, the northern tribe, Israel, recall, they were taken into captivity by the Assyrians. The southern part, Judah, was taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Now, you also hear them called the Chaldeans, or the Chaldees. And they were going through, actually, when Habakkuk wrote this, it had not taken place yet, but it was about to happen. It was about to happen. God had become frustrated with the sin of Israel, and they were going to deal with the consequences of their sins. But again, when God doesn't make sense. Let's start with, go back to chapter 1 of Habakkuk, and we're going to pick up the reading there. And I'm going to read the first first four verses. The pattern here, as we read this, the pattern here is Habakkuk is questioning God. He's questioning God. Then God is going to give Habakkuk an answer. And Habakkuk is not going to like the answer that God gives. Again, God doesn't make sense. And then he's going to question God again with, okay, you answered me, but I don't like your solution or your response to my question. So that's how this is going to flow. That's the summary of this. So, chapter 1, verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, he says, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not say, Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. So, this is a typical response to God. If you are a person that is consistent in your prayers, and we also are human, sometimes we wonder, well God, how long is this going to take before you do something? How much are we going to experience in our community, in our homes, in our country, across this world? How long are you going to allow this to go on unchecked? Unchecked. We just heard about a young lady lost her life and had six children. And, you know, to watch the local news, it's a tragedy, isn't it? Every day we're hearing about violence, we're hearing about murder, we're hearing about road rage. Just a couple of weeks ago, it seems like there were 2-3 days in a row where someone was driving the wrong way on the expressway, killing people. And you just wonder, God, how long? How much must we endure? Maybe you have lost loved ones in your family. You've been praying and praying and praying. And you're wondering, God, do you even hear me? Right? And here's Habakkuk. He's the prophet. He's the prophet. He's the man that represents God to the people. So he's kind of caught in the middle of this, and he's looking at Israel, and Israel is all sorts of sins. And he's praying, he's asking God to, you know, to stop this, and it seems to be no end to it. So he asks God, how long? I'm crying. Verse 2, he says, I'm crying out unto thee about this violence, and thou wilt not say. God, you're not stopping it. I know you hear me. I know you see it, God. I see it. How long? Why dost thou show me all this iniquity? And behold, all the grievances and the spoiling, the violence. You know, it looks like even those that are doing the violence are somehow doing well, right? They're just going on and they're doing what they want to do. No one's catching them. No one's stopping it. And it just continues. I think one of those persons that did a mass shooting, which place it was, a guy had like 40 counts of gun violence on his record. How did that happen? How does that happen? So we have this same frustration that Habakkuk has. He says in verse 4, the law is slack. Right? Now, we in our country, we have laws and we have judges. And it seems like when the law is broken, well, the way it's supposed to go, the law should be enforced, and those judges should make sure that the law is enforced fairly and equitably. But it seems like nothing is happening, doesn't it? You know, these people do these crimes and they go right back out and they do it again. It's just sad. And this is Habakkuk. He's feeling this. He's saddened by this. And we all believe we're saddened by what we see occur all around us every day. And we wonder how long. When is judgment going to take place? I was in, I have a niece that lives in New Jersey. In fact, she's a CPA like your daughter, Fitzgerald. And we went to visit her one time, and she works in New York, but she lives in New Jersey. And we were there one day. I went to the market, and as I was in the parking lot, I noticed that I kept hearing car horns. And I'm like, why do I keep hearing car horns? Well, if you're in New York or if you're in a New Jersey area, that's what they do. It's constant horn honking. Constant horn honking. It's like the guy that was in an intersection, maybe. Let's say right here, Curtis, right? He was in an intersection and his car broke down. And he started, kept stalling. And sure enough, the car that behind him, the horn went off. The horn went off. And honk, honk, honk. And the guy's like, man, I can't start. What do you want me to do? So he gets out of the car and goes to the guy and says, sir, look, I'm sorry. My car is stalled and it won't start. But I will be happy to change places with you if you would like to go and try to start my car, and I'll stand back here and honk the horn. Would you like to trade places? It's not starting. And that's kind of how we are. We're just honking our horns. We want God to move. Come on, God. Can't you hear me? Move. Move, God. Do something. And God says, no. I have a different perspective than you do. I have a different view than you do. Your timetable is not my timetable. I'm going to do things the way I want to do it, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it. And we're just sitting there honking our horn. Come on, guys. This brother up here was talking about golfing. I overheard you guys talking about golfing. And I'm not a good golfer. I'm quite a novice, right? But I get out there and try, Brother Dan. If there was a horn that could be sounded on the golf course, well, there is a storm, they would be honking the horn at me. Because I'm just sitting there, whee! I'm just missing, and I'm just, you know. You know, it takes me 10 swings just to get on the green. They would be honking their horns at me. So don't go golfing with me, right? I always say that if I started a golf tournament, it would be called the Hackers Invitational. Right? We'd be hacking away, and hopefully no good golfers are anywhere around. They grow impatient. But we grow impatient with God. We wonder what God is going to do. Well, so this was his cry out to God in verses 1 through 4. God's going to answer him here in verse 5. God answers, and he says, "Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I will raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful, their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all the violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be scorned unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall this mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power as unto God, unto his God." So this is God's answer. He cried out, how long, God, what are you going to do? And God said, I'm going to do something. In fact, I'm already doing it. I'm working on Habakkuk. You just wait and see. When I show up, you're going to see something that's incredible. You're going to see something that you've never seen before. And I'm sure Habakkuk, okay, I'm listening now, God. I'm listening. What are you going to do? I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and they're going to come in and they're going to pummel you. What? Yes, they're going to come in. They're going to take over. They're going to take everything you got. They're going to take your land. He looked at his phone. I must have called the wrong number. This God, are you sure this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? Is this the same God? Yeah, it's me. And this is what's going to happen. And see, this is something that's really doesn't make sense. Thinking about when God doesn't make sense, this doesn't make sense. God, you mean to tell me you're going to use the enemies, our enemies, to straighten us out? Why not just let us fix this ourselves and come together and sing Kumbaya? We'll figure it out. No. No, this is how God's going to do it. And this really perplexed the prophet. He asked God, why are you going to do it like this? Why are you going to use our enemies to pummel us? So you see that here in the next verses, in Habakkuk 1, chapter 1, verse 12. He said, "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth a man that is more righteous than he?" Now notice, okay, when it first started here in chapter 1, verse 1, Habakkuk was just crying out, God, how long? How long? How long? Look at all this stuff going on, how long? Now notice here how he changes his approach to God in verse 12. Look at this. "Oh Lord my God, Holy One, oh Lord, oh mighty God." So now he's changing his approach. Now that he's learned that God's going to straighten him out using the enemy, he said, let me try this a little differently. Let me speak of God on this more formal, these more pious sort of words. Oh Lord, my God. Oh, isn't that interesting? It's kind of like when you get pulled over by a police officer and you get a ticket, right? Mr. Officer, now you're Mr. Officer, you know, right? Yeah, he's changing his approach now, and he goes on to talk about how is it that you can use someone that is evil to deal with the righteous. God, haven't you promised in your word that you would restore, that you would retain the remnant of your chosen people? I know that's a promise. You're not going to wipe us out, God, are you? And surely you're not going to use these people to do it. And so God, so he goes on to complain. And something important for us to remember when God doesn't make sense. We're going to get to that in the next chapter here. I'm going to skip over to the next chapter, save us a little time. But let's move on to chapter 2, which we read earlier. Habakkuk concluded this in verse 1 of chapter 2. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am approved. One thing he had right. When God doesn't make sense, stand on your post. Stand on your post. Don't quit. Don't tuck tail and run. Stand on your post. He said, I will stand upon my watch. I will set me upon the tower. And I will watch to see what he will say unto me. Though he didn't like the answer that God gave him, though he didn't understand the answer, I'm going to remain faithful. I'm going to stay right here at Curtis Gospel Chapel. I'm going to stay right here on my post, and I'm going to watch to see and to hear what God wants me to do. Don't give up, saints. Don't give up. It looks like it's falling apart. Habakkuk gives us encouragement as he understands that in faith he must stand, he must watch, and he must wait. And then the Lord answered him again, and he says, write the vision, Habakkuk, in verse 2, and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. So stay on your post, watch, wait, but that which I have instructed you, I want you to write it down. Write it down. Like there's God so loved the world. It's John 3:16 right there. All right, there's another scripture there. There's this. All these are scriptures. It's written down as a permanent record. He wants Habakkuk to write this so that others may read it, not just for his own personal gratification or for his own help. Write it so others can see it. Alright, so don't write like anybody that's seen doctors writing, right? You really can't read it. Don't write it like a doctor. Write it so it can clearly be understood. Right? So maybe large print, take time, right? Follow. Now, they don't teach handwriting in school anymore, I heard. Anybody hear that too?
Yeah.
They don't teach handwriting anymore. It is sad. But man, that was one of the things I struggled with, especially cursive. Oh my goodness. Your kids know cursive? See, yeah. no neither. So write it that it can be clearly understood, clearly seen. It's amazing how some people have mastered in complicating things. Mastered in making the simple difficult. God says, no, make it simple. Make it simple. J. Vernon McGee used to say something like, put it on the bottom of the shelf so the little ones can get to it. Right? That's sort of a way of saying make it accessible. right clear in a way that those that run can read. Now, you can look at that a lot of different ways. You can look at it as a person running, he can still read it even though he's moving. You can take it as those that run may read that it may enable them to run, right? But it is, in a nutshell, make it plain. Make it plain. Make it clear. Write the vision. Put it somewhere it can be read. When they wrote things, these tables, that's another way of saying write it in stone. Just like Moses when he gave the Ten Commandments. A permanent record. Clearly seen. Clearly understood. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it would tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. So, we're talking about Habakkuk's complaint in the first verse was how long it had. That means his complaint had a time component. He was initially not really so concerned about how God was going to resolve it, but when God was going to resolve it. And so, again, this is one of our struggles. Waiting for God. We don't have the patience to wait for God. We don't understand that God's timetable is not our timetable. Well, there's a couple of scriptures that address that. 2 Peter 3:8, God says, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as how many years? 1,000 years. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day." One day. So, you know, we're trying to figure out, see, it's been 40 days, it's been what? That's not God's timetable. He doesn't operate like that. Then Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, "He hath made everything beautiful in our time." Nobody corrected me. In his time. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I'm also amazed. It's amazing to me to talk to other brothers that are leaders and those that are in the ministry, how they have this tendency, and I'm picking on anyone, have this tendency to always trying to predict what God's going to do. Now, it's good to have a biblical worldview, which means to view things through the lens of the Bible, through the lens of our faith. But you know what? We really don't know what God's going to do. We really, yeah, you know, right? Even the prophet didn't know what God was going to do. He didn't know. And I contend based on scripture, we don't know either. Now, there are some hints about some things we have in scripture that are recorded, but some of the details, we don't have that vantage point. We're still in the back, honking our horns. We don't know why that car is not moving. We don't know why God's not moving. We just have that rear view that someone's blocking my way. I'm not getting my answer. Why aren't you moving? But God's timetable is not ours. His ways are not our ways. Over in Isaiah, let me read that to you. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. I didn't write that down for you. He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Did you get that? Get that? That's important. Our thoughts and our ways, they don't compare to God's. In fact, the comparison that he gives us to compare to is the heaven versus the earth, right? There's no really no comparison. So again, in chapter 2, Habakkuk understands the importance of staying on his post. Habakkuk understands the importance of watching and waiting to see and to hear what God is going to do. And so verse 3 said, I will tarry, I will wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Verse 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his or her faith. The just shall live by his or her faith. So we have a contrast here. We have the proud versus the just. The proud, that person is lifted up and they're not upright. And it says next that the just live by faith. Well, who are the just? Who are the just? Those that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Lord and as their Savior. You know you need both, right? Don't just have him be your Savior. Of course, everybody wants to be saved. We want Jesus to save us, but do you want him to be Lord? Does he sit on the throne of your heart? He must be Lord and Savior. It's interesting here that this quote, or this word in chapter 4, is quoted throughout the New Testament scriptures. You'll find Paul used it two times in Romans and in Galatians, and then it's recorded again in Hebrews. And in each of those times that this scripture is quoted, it gives us three facets of the just living by faith. Let me give those to you. The first one is in Romans 1:17. In Romans 1:17. I should read it. Don't worry, I'm going to get you out here at noon. All right? Amen? I see some people look like they're thinking about what's for lunch. And somebody's going to play 9 holes today before dinner. All right, we're going to get you out. Romans 1:17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So this essence, or this facet of the just living by faith, speaks to that we are saved by faith. We are saved by faith. The next one is Galatians 3:11. Galatians 3:11. And that says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident for that the just shall live by faith. So this is how we are justified. There's a contrast between being justified by the law versus being justified by faith. So we are saved by faith, we are justified by faith. Then Hebrews chapter 10 is the next one. Hebrews 10. And then, you know, I'm going to read a couple of extra verses in there. I'll pick up at 37, maybe. Yes. Hebrews 10:37. For yet a little while, and he shall come. I'm sorry. And he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if by any means draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So here, the just live by faith is talking about how we live. How we live. So the just are saved by faith. The just are justified by faith. The just live by faith. So Habakkuk captured that in 2:4. And so now we're still reading about what he says here. I don't want to skip, I probably did talk about that back in chapter 2, verse 3. He did say, wait for it. Wait for it. Wait on the Lord. There's a great text for that one too in Isaiah 40:31, I believe it is. Wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's 40:31. Hold on. But they that wait upon the Lord, I love the scripture, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those are those that wait upon the Lord. Now, we think of waiting, or those that are waiting are, you know, they're just wasting their time. But scripture here, the prophet Isaiah says, you're going to be stronger. You're going to have wings like eagles. You're going to be able to walk and run forever and never get tired. You're going to walk miles and miles and miles, and you'll never faint. Oh, there's a blessing in waiting for the Lord. Amen? They that wait. So be encouraged. Wait on the Lord. Then he goes on to talk about a few other things here, but I want to highlight in chapter 2, he also brings out these five woes. Five woes. In chapter 2, I'll give it to you really quick. Alright. Chapter 2, verse 6. Kind of down there toward the middle of that verse, it says, woe to him, the first one, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? The person that increases things that are not his. These are greedy people. Alright? Woe to those that are greedy. Greedy. Right? I can remember working and always thinking, I need more. I need another raise. I need another bonus. I need more money. Right? There's more. Maybe I get another job. Maybe I get the business on the side. Maybe I hustle. Do this. Oh. What are you trying to do? It's greed. And Habakkuk says, woe to that person that is greedy. Second woe in verse 9, he says, woe to him that covereth an evil covetousness. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. You know, the sin of covetousness is wanting something or having a desire for something that is not yours. And if you look at the Ten Commandments, it's listed in the Ten Commandments. And coveting is a very, very dangerous sin. The third woe in verse 12 says, woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity. Wow. These are persons that build things by taking advantage of people. Maybe even doing things illegal or using illegal methods. Maybe not paying people properly. Woe to them. The fourth woe, verse 15, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Wow. And Sister Fitzgerald was talking about that alcohol. Right? Now the Bible doesn't tell us that we can't drink alcohol. It doesn't say that. But you should not be drunk. You should be not known as a person that gets drunk. If you have a glass of wine, everybody that knows that you have a glass of wine, they should visually understand and see you doing it in a way that is modest. Right? Conservative. Not drinking to get drunk or high or blown. Whatever term you guys like to use. That should not be what we're doing. He says, woe to him that does it and get someone else to do it. Come on! Now, I used to work at a place called Nemo's. Anybody heard of Nemo's? It's one on Michigan and 8th. They had one in the Renaissance and one in Fairlane. I started there when I was 16 years old. And at the end of the shift, you know what happened? Come!
drink.
I'm 16 years old. I'm like, what's going on?
And they were trying to get everybody involved in this thing. And that's it. And everybody's walking out the door staggered. What kind of, right? God says, woe to this. Don't do that. Don't do that. Please don't do that.
The last woe, verse 19, woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake to the dumb stone, arise, and it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver. There is no breath at all in the midst of it. So this is talking about idolatry, graven images. Woe to that person that is an idolater. And then at the last part of this verse, this chapter, verse 20, but the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. And I think God kind of goes full circle here. He says, the Lord is still in his holy temple. The Lord is still in control. The Lord God is still sovereign. I know, Habakkuk, the situation looks grim. It feels like I'm not answering your prayers, and I did answer. You don't like my answer. I know you don't like the fact I'm going to use the enemy to deal with this issue. Stay on your post. Watch. Wait. The Lord is still in his temple. The Lord is still in control. Let all the earth keep silent. Just be quiet. Hush. That be silence is this hush. It doesn't mean you stop praying. It doesn't mean you stop crying out to the Lord, but just hush. Stop the complaining. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for yourself this morning. We thank you so much for your word. We pray, dear Lord, that though we didn't talk a lot about being lost, we just pray, Lord, for those that may be lost in our presence this morning. We ask that you would prick their hearts, that you would cause them to see themselves as sinners in need of a Savior, and draw them to your own self. And Father, we pray for those in our audience, Lord, that have grown impatient like Habakkuk. And Lord, those of us that have observed all the awful things that are going on, and it feels like nothing's happening, that you're not answering, Lord, let us be like Habakkuk, to stay on our post, to watch and to wait with expectancy that the Lord indeed hears our prayers and will answer. Let us be silent before the Lord. Bless us now as we go from this place, as we go to our separate homes, that we might return again at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. That's Romans number 672, the first and last verse. This is good part. The speaker said that the Lord is in charge. I was being a little careless this morning, and did you check my notes in the last thing I said? Trying to play the wrong game.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
I got a message from your dad.